Welcome to the PSDcast with your host, Jason Lumberg at Power Systems Design. Hotels haven't historically been champions of the environment. Now, while you might see signs about conserving water, all that pampering and hospitality usually isn't congruent with low carbon emissions. According to one study, energy consumption represents 3-6% of hotel operating costs and is responsible for 60% of its CO2 emissions. All of that led to the Beverly Hilton and the Waldorf Astoria Beverly Hills partnering up with Nostromo Energy for energy storage solutions with a 1.4 megawatt hour energy system supposedly reducing CO2 emissions by 150 to 200 metric tons annually, or more than 5,000 metric tons for the life of the system. On the line to discuss that is Nostromo founder and CTO, Yaron Ben-Nun. So welcome to the show, Yaron, and describe how this partnership came about. What was the impetus behind it?
Thank you very much, Jason. This partnership started a few years ago when we matured with our technology in Israel territory, and we understood, and that's how we planned it, that our beachhead market, if you may say so, will be Los Angeles and the West Coast. We started to scout for a good place to start to show their effect or the our ability to change or to transform a building, to retrofit a building and transform it to a grid interactive asset, meaning totally change the way it consumes energy. And luckily enough, we met the Alogen family, Benny Alogen, which he was former the entrepreneur behind Packard Bell, and then a real estate a developer, a very famous one, and took around 2006 the Beverly Hilton and made a legend out of this hotel. And his son, David Alogen, which is a very bright guy and mainly is occupied with innovation and ESG and clean energy technology, building technologies. And instantly they fell in love with what we are doing, and we decided together that our first venue that we will present our capabilities, our carbon reduction, we call it a proactive carbon reduction and of course electricity cost reduction capabilities will be shown and exposed in the Hilton Beverly Hills, which actually this system, and we'll maybe elaborate on it later, is supporting both the Waldorf Astoria and the Hilton because they have the same cooling system and we are connected to cooling systems.
Okay, now, how can energy storage in general help reduce California's insatiable appetite for energy, with air conditioning in commercial and industrial buildings accounting for approximately half of California's energy demand?
So energy storage in general is the only key to keep on the penetration of solar and wind. And in California, solar is the big winner, for renewable energy production. Solar will triple itself until 2030. Today, as for today, solar is about 16 to 17% of the total energy produced annually, and by law, it's going to be 50% at 2050. So we are looking at a dramatic growth in solar penetration in the next 7 years. Taking this in consideration, we need to look at the ramp up, meaning what is happening every evening when the sun is setting down in California. So this effect becomes a major event. When we were children, we saw like Caribbean, a picture of sunset with reddish clouds, and some would call it a romantic sunset, and some will call it dramatic sunset. So in California, it's already been decided that these pictures are dramatic and not romantic, not only romantic, because when the sun is setting down in California, the grid is losing more than 18,000 megawatts. This is 18 gigawatts. How big is that? What I just said, it's like three nuclear our plants. So that's going down with the sunset every day, meaning that the grid is losing huge stability and huge power production that's made by the sun. So somebody needs to support. Only that California today is supporting the loss of solar energy through sunset in order that the grid totally will not get out of control, you know, and be destabilized totally, is with operating 80 peaker power plants, which are very, very inefficient and polluting. And this is like a jet, like a fast and very inefficient, but very strong and fast jet-based power plants. And they're kicking in through the sunset in order to support the frequency of the electricity, stabilizing the grid. And these power plants are ought to retire in the next, again, until the end of 2030. So there is like a 7 years ahead of us, which solar are only going to triple, and the 80 power plants supporting the solar loss through sunset must be retired because they are the biggest barrier towards reducing carbon emissions. So storage is in the need, and storage is the only thing that the California grid needs to take care of in order to, the main thing needs to be taken care of. And as for today, lithium-ion batteries, which is not only the main, it's the sole way to store energy today in the developing of. Of course, there are other means, but the developed technology that is developing dramatically with the capacity installed, they cannot go into buildings in the sizes of commercial industrial. So, of course, if I'm a residential and I have a 15, 14 kWh lithium-ion battery, I can put it in my garage, no problem. But if I'm the hills in Beverly Hills, I need two 1.5 megawatt hour of battery, and no one in the commercial realm will consider even to put two megawatt hour of lithium-ion batteries just because of safety. And, of course, safety issues bring liability issues bring insurance issues. So the commercial industrial segment, which, like you said, take more than 50% of the total energy electricity produced, is actually out of the game with energy storage, and less than 1% of storage is being installed in these buildings or on premise. Now think about that. You can keep on putting solar and lithium ion batteries in the Mojave Desert, which this is what is done today. It's called front of the meter. And then you're starting to saturating this ability because the distribution system, the way that the electricity gets into the city through the old distribution and the transformation system and is collapsing, actually, is saturated. And now you get more solar, and the sunsets are dramatic. Like I said, the EV, the electric vehicles, are kicking in, and the grid is going into a mayhem. It's a chaos. It's like who can really keep on moving towards 100% renewable? Well, I would say who can go to 50% renewable with so many constraints. What we offer is a very safe and clean energy storage means to retrofit existing buildings. The Beverly Hills is 65 years old. The World of Astoria is 6 years old, but still these two buildings are totally like the lowest level of electricity consumers they were until we kick in. Meaning they're taking electricity whenever they need it, and then they keep on taking it even when the grid doesn't have electricity to give. They keep on demanding it. Today, after the installation of our system in the Beverly Hilton, these buildings are flexible towards the volatility of the production of electricity on the grid. And the meaning of that is when solar production is at surplus, when there is a surplus of solar production, the system can store this solar solar in the form of ice. We are actually building solar ice, if you might look at it this way. So there is a lot of ice being built, 150,000 pounds of ice from solar, mainly from solar electricity. And then when sunset starts at 4 p.m. and the peak demand and on-peak tariff rates are you know, kicking in, we are discharging, we are throwing this ice and distribute it into the building through the existing, you know, piping of cold water of the existing cooling system, and reduce dramatically, sometimes 100%. We take off 100% of the loads of the electricity towards cooling for 5 straight hours, meaning supporting the whole event of sunset by reducing the electricity demand of the building. And this, by using clean and sustainable and mainly safe mean, which is throwing ice into the existing cooling system of the building. This is a huge transformation being done inside the cities, enabling buildings to become part of the transition, of the clean energy transition, in an active way. Just if we'll think for a moment about the combination of the words decarbonizing building, I always ask myself, how can you decarbonize a building? How can you lower a building's footprint for carbon? So of course, the first thing you can do, and that's what has been done for the last 20, 30 years in California very well, is lowering your energy consumption by being more efficient, changing your bulbs, you know, into LED lights, and taking care of your gray water and your garbage and lowering your other electricity consumption, you know, buying great equipment. Okay, and insulating your building, being a little balcony, whatever. Then you ask yourself, okay, you did that. Your building is as efficient as it gets. More than that, it would be crazy to try to make it more efficient. Now what you can do, so the only thing you were left with is when you use the energy. Because the data that starts to be very, you know, much available today shows that the mixture of fuels behind every kWh or kilowatt hour that you consume changes by the second. So in California today, and now as we speak, this is like 10 a.m. or 7 a.m. now in California, the electricity coming into LA is tagged as almost zero carbon per kWh, per kilowatt hour. And in the late afternoon, it might jump to 600 grams or like more than a pound of CO2 for the same electricity, for the same kilowatt hour. So imagine that you can take more than you need at sunrise or when the sun is in the middle of the sky and charge it using a clean and safe beam system or technology, and discharge it and avoid the peaker plant's participation, meaning the sunset production of very high on carbon electricity. You just made the building a proactive in, or prosumer, if you might say so, in energy consumption, lowering its carbon footprint, lowering its electricity costs, and actually protecting the building from many other legislation coming down the road or you know, up the stream or whatever you would like to call it in the future, which will be immense. And we know already what's happening in New York City, in Manhattan. The local law 97 has already, you know, is ramping up. Starting January 24, every excess ton of carbon emissions will cost to building owners $268. This is the price tag. This is a crazy high price tag that was given for an excess ton emitted, you know, from buildings. And Seattle just came out with new laws for buildings. And I see, we believe, that buildings and commercial buildings and industrial entities are the big, you know, next target for reducing carbon. And I must say, sorry, I mean, I'm it's devastating, but one day before yesterday, that was the 3rd of July, it was announced it's the hottest they ever recorded, you know, from the 19th century until today. Things are getting harder and more extreme. We need to act fast.
Okay. Well, before I let you go, Yaron, you know, what makes the Stromos energy system so special and unique, and what other types of applications do you think it would be a good fit for?
So we use the latent heat of water, excuse me for using this term, which is an enormous ability of water to store cold energy while changing phase from liquid to solid. We did not invent nor water or technologies that harness this ability. It's the only thing that we did is developed a cell, which is called an ice brick, which contain, of course, just water, tap water, and harnessing this ability of change phase of water to store cold energy, but in a very, very efficient way. The efficiency of what we're doing is manifesting itself in, I would say, three different ways. First one is the modularity of the cell. The cell looks like a Lego block. So you can put it in many ways. You can put it below your feet. You can put it along the walls. You can put it in a bulky way if you have an extra room. It can be in a shallow formation on the rooftop. So the building owner has very, very little, you know, barriers to decide to put the system physically to retrofit his building with a quite massive infrastructure enhancement. The second thing is the stability of the discharge. So people don't know, but not aware of, but every battery has a change in the capacity that you can draw out of the battery on the way that the battery is losing its total capacity. So in our flashlights, we know that the light dims. In our old flashlights, the light dims because the battery is weak. And if you're talking about battery that holds ice, so the ice starts to melt, and there is now a barrier of water between your agent and the ice, the agent that tries to take or give thermal energy to the ice bulk, to the bulk of ice, and now the barrier of water starts to reduce your ability to draw heat from the water to the ice and vice versa. So the meaning of that is ice batteries in general, big bulky ice batteries, have the problem of dramatically discharge rate that falls after the first half of discharge. So when the battery is totally frozen, the battery is very efficient. And then when there is half water, half ice, the battery is very inefficient in drawing the power. That brings you to many, many problems in the stability of the service that you can give to the building throughout these 5 hours of on-peak time that the battery needs to perform at its best. We solved that problem by using from an ISON coil technology, which was the old bulky, you know, big tanks, building, you know, big bulky ice around the coil, which were very, I would say, sensitive with this point that I just mentioned. And we went on different, totally different technology called encapsulated ice. So I will give you an example. How come a Tesla car have only 5% in its power in the batteries, but when you push the gas pedal, you'll get 100% of the power? The answer is the Tesla car has 3,000 batteries, not one. So the computer can choose to work parallelly on hundreds of batteries with 5% each, and in a parallel fashion of addressing the need for power to get the total power that the motor needs. We did just the same, but with ice. So every cell of Nostromo has hundreds of capsules, and every, like the Hilton system has 40,000 capsules. So we have a lot of surface area towards mass, and we can control the loads and the capacity, even when the battery is very low on like capacity or energy at the end of the discharge cycle, therefore maintaining a stable discharge rate. The last thing is that we are operating all that from the cloud and from a local control, and we're giving a whole, I would say, a holistic solution from A to Z. The customer stays totally agnostic to the fact that he has, you know, integrate an energy storage system. The system gives him billing, you know, carbon accounting and savings. And he's totally agnostic to what the system is doing, because this is a whole solution which was not really available until today. So we believe that we changed, we might be able to change the way that business owners are looking at the possibility to retrofit their building into a grid interactive asset and become part of a very, very vivid and growing community of commercial industrial owners and operators that wants to be part of the next generation of virtual power plant. And this is maybe the biggest next vision that the DOE, which we are now partnering with, the Department of Energy, the LPO, the Loan Program Office, run by a very interesting man called, his name is Jigar Shah, which has a vision how to make cities grid interactive, how to let the cities comply with this new era or new time in which the grid is very unstable because of renewables, more instability. People already know that the sun is, you know, setting down and then rising up, and there are clouds and the wind is coming and going, and we want to be clean. We need to stabilize the grid with other means, and doing it with lithium ion batteries, this is might be really the wrong way for the grid. It's great for your car, great for your laptop, but for the grid, it is less favorable because of many reasons that I mentioned, some of them. So using water in order to make cities grid interactive and build communities of CNI, of commercial industrial, that will take care, you know, of the load, this is a great vision that we are very proud to be part of.
Oh, perfect. Well, thanks, Yaron. I want to thank you for your time. And to our audience, thanks for joining us. Stay safe and healthy, and have a great day.